So this morning, by the way, it's just really good to see all of you. As Rand mentioned, you know, to have us back, it's wonderful. It's been a rough couple weeks, but praise the Lord. It's good to have everybody, mostly everybody back, so praise the Lord for that. But we're going to continue on in our book, study of the book of Proverbs. Last week, we saw kind of the negative aspect of work in a warning against being lazy. This week, it's the positive end of that. It is the encouragement to work and really explaining and helping us to understand the righteousness of working hard. As you look at working hard, you know, these principles are part of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, will have this work ethic about them, that they will want to work hard and recognize the value of work. When I first started working full-time at the company that I'm working at now, you know, it was much different than what I was doing before. And, you know, I'm working in a factory, and the thoughts came through my head, you know, as I was working there. What is the value of this, making these machines in a factory setting, just punching out one thing after another, you know, an assembly line? And it took me a little bit to work through that, but I began to enjoy the work and recognizing that all work that we have is valuable if it is done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And It really is. Even something such as working in a factory like that is valuable work, and I felt good about doing that, and doing that work, and recognizing that I could use it for the glory of God. And I think the Lord really has used that in my life, as I've got to meet new people and share the gospel and different things like that. But we want to look at Proverbs today and talk about that value of work and the importance of work and the righteousness of work, because it really is, as we do fear the Lord and as we want to please Him, work becomes a very righteous thing. It becomes something that is good and wholesome and useful for the Lord. So let's take a look here and see, first of all, that work is profitable. And Proverbs does have things to just wisdom about work that helps us. And one of the things that it says is that it is profitable. And Proverbs 14:23 lays it right out there. In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. So in all labor, manual labor or whatever labor it might be, maybe you're developing websites, who knows, you know, whatever it is that you do, there is profit in that work. When you're working hard and doing the work, showing up there day after day, there is profit in doing that. But mere talk leads only to poverty. So if you just talk about working, oh man, I got to go to work, I got to do this, and I got to do this, or maybe you're making plans, or you have your head up in the clouds somewhere, and you have all of these ideas and everything like that. And there's nothing wrong with ideas if you're willing to work to get to those ideas and get those ideas off of paper and onto a real business of some sort. But if it's just mere talk, it leads only to poverty. I've talked to so many people who are unhappy with the work that they are doing, and they'll talk endlessly about finding a new job, getting something else. Oh, I can't stand it here, or I don't like this work, and so I'm going to find something else. And then you talk to them 6 months later, have you found anything new? No, I haven't really looked. You know, it's all mere talk. It's just talk. That leads to poverty. If all you do is talk about it, you're not doing any work, and it's going to lead to not having the amount of money that you need. Now, sometimes it does take a while to get a job, doesn't it? And it's a lot of work to find a job sometimes. Well, not in this economy right now. There's tons of jobs out there. If you want to work, you're going to find a job. But normally speaking, it can be a lot of work to find a job. So even that is important. But there's that profit in that labor. We continue on in Proverbs 14 and verse 4. And here's our verse that I shared with the kids. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes from the strength of an ox. And you get the idea of what the author here is trying to get to. Yeah, you could say, you know, a lot oxen are a lot of work. They're smelly. They're stinky. It takes a lot of food to feed them. You have to plant the fodder in the field, and you have to harvest it. You have to get it all together, and then you have to daily give it out put it in the manger to keep the animal alive. It's a lot of work to have animals. And if any of you have had even chickens, I know a lot of people have chickens. If you've had any cows or goats or even horses, you know how much work an animal takes. And it is difficult, but it is worth it. And that's the point here. Much revenue comes from the strength of an ox. What can you use that ox for? Yeah, you feed it. And if that's all you do is feed it and let it stay in the barn all day long, then certainly it's not going to be worth anything. But if you use the strength of that ox and you plow your field with that ox, you harvest your grain with that ox, you pull carts and deliver things with that ox, or whatever it is that you might do for the strength of that ox, it is worth it. And there is profit in that. Revenue comes from that strength. And so the point is this. Don't be worried about the money that you got to pay out in food and all the work that it takes to care for an animal. If that animal is going to help you, then go ahead and get it. Use it and benefit from the strength of that ox. Now, today, these days, you know, we don't oftentimes use oxes, right? But what do we have? Well, for those who might be working in some fields, you have a computer. Computers are a lot of work. I'm not sure how much time they really save. Oftentimes, there are a lot of problems. But a lot can be done on a computer, right? Especially working remotely and different things like that. What if you're working outside and you have a truck? Sometimes it's a lot of upkeep to keep a truck running properly, getting all of the oil changes and everything that you need to do, taking care of that truck. But a lot of work can be done with a truck. A lot of revenue can be derived from having that truck. So yeah, we might not have oxen these days, but we have the same principle. And it is good to use those tools and be able to gain from those and find that revenue. The New Testament puts it this way. With goodwill, render service as to the Lord, not to men. As we work, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are working not for your boss, not for yourself if you own your own business. You're not working for anybody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you understand that and you got that perspective, that it will really help you to work even harder as you're doing it for the Lord. Because you can grow tired if you're just doing it for a boss or just doing it for somebody else. Now, or even for yourself. And recognize, too, that there's nothing wrong with that. You do work for your boss. It's just that your ultimate boss is the Lord. You work to please him because he is your Lord and your Savior. You don't do it for men, even yourself, but you work for the Lord. And you do it with goodwill, rendering your service that you need to do, whatever it is, whatever work it is that you have. You do that for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we're pleasing our Lord, and there is value, there is honor in that work that we do because it is done for the Lord. All right, let's take a look at some benefits of work, of hard work. Work provides food. Seems pretty simple, but it's very true. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11. And it's almost identical to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 19. He who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty and plenty. they're going to have plenty of something, but it's going to be plenty of poverty. So we see the two back and forth. The one lacks sense as he doesn't do any work, and the one has poverty and plenty. But the one who works and tills the land will have plenty of food. It's hard work being a farmer oftentimes. And often these passages have to do with farming because that was part of their lifestyle back then. And we're a little bit more detached from that these days. But still, working hard, providing food for your family, doing what you need to do in order to have plenty of food for your family is important. But you're following those empty pursuits, those things that aren't going to really do anything, those things that aren't going to produce anything that is of value that you can monetize and that you can make any money off of. If that's what you're trusting in to feed your family, you're going to have trouble. So it's difficult. You want to have dreams and you want to have ideas and you want to pursue those ideas. But if they're empty pursuits, you want to be able to figure that out quickly, get rid of it, and say, I got to move on to something that's going to make some money. You think of all the actors and actresses in California who have their mugshots in the books that recruiters or those who find people to work in movies and different things. They have all these pictures, books of pictures of people who all want to be actors and actresses. You know what most of them are doing? Waiting tables. Because that pursuit is an empty pursuit for most people as far as acting is concerned, right? But waitressing, being a waiter, or finding some sort of manual labor pays the bills. And that's what most of them end up doing. So we want to be able to pursue good work, profitable work, that will provide food for our families. I love this Proverbs 16:26. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. And I don't know about you, but you get close to lunchtime and everybody's like, how many minutes till lunchtime? I'm starving. I just can't wait, you know. But that appetite drives you on. Okay, I know I got to wait till 11:30 and I can open up my lunchbox and have some lunch. But until then, I'm going to get this done. We got a few more things to do. Let's get it done. It urges you on, and that hunger urges you on. Food is a good incentive to work. Your stomach and your hungry belly is a good incentive to get the work done that you need to do. And we want to even be happy about that and even be thankful that, hey, I'm hungry. That means I've been working hard. That means I've been doing something and that's making me hungry. So that's a good thing. All right, some of the other benefits of work. Work provides honor. It does provide honor. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. We use this one oftentimes with our children. This is a good one. If you're diligent in your work, whether it's your schoolwork or whether it's your other work, you will eventually rule. Now, again, these are proverbs. These are general truths. They're not true in every circumstance. Not everybody who works diligently will rule. Why? Well, because there are other circumstances, including political circumstances and everything else that might mess that up. If you have a bad ruler that's above you, doesn't matter how hard you work, you might not be able to be in that position. But as a general rule, if you're working diligently, you are going to be above other people. You are going to get yourself to a position where you know your craft, you know your work, you know your labor, and you'll be able to be supervising over other people who are maybe not working as hard or don't have as much experience as you do. But the slack hand will be put to forced labor. That is, the lazy people are always being told what to do. They're generally speaking not going to be the put in charge of anything because they're so lazy that they know that the work is not going to be done. So we want to be the one who has a diligent hand. And coming with that is the honor of being put in a higher position in ruling over and having under people under your care. Here's another one, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Here, it's a similar passage to the one before it. But the principle here is, if you are working hard and you are skilled at what you do, it's going to elevate you and give you honor, and to where you might even stand before kings and do work for kings or rulers of some sort. And not before obscure people, but rulers themselves. Let me tell you about Martin Greenfield. He's one of the world's most respected and accomplished tailors. He wrote an autobiography a number of years back. But since emigrating from the former Czechoslovakia to America in 1947, he has dressed everyone from the Rat Pack and Leonardo DiCaprio and Presidents Dwight Eisenhower and all the way up to Barack Obama. And when that was written, it was during that age. He's also done George Bush, both of them, I believe, as well as other important people even in government positions. But in his autobiography, he tells about where he came from and how he learned to start tailoring. He says, "My first job in the camps was washing Nazi uniforms." You see, Martin Greenfield was a Jew, and he was in one of the concentration camps for 2 years there in Czechoslovakia. He says, "I knew nothing of the task. Still, I grabbed a brush and an SS soldier's shirt and scrubbed hard and fast. After working my way about halfway through the pile, it happened. I scrubbed so hard that the bristles ripped the collar. The face of the pacing soldier at my station flushed red. I do not remember his words, but I remember his baton. He beat me until I bled. He needed to make an example out of me for the other prisoners. When he was finished with my flogging, he balled up the torn shirt and threw it in my face before huffing off. The shirt was trash to the soldier, but not to me. I kept it. Working in the laundry was a nice man who knew how to sew. He gave me a needle and thread and taught me how to sew a simple stitch, and I mended the shirt. And from that, he continued to work at his stitching and became a full tailor. Actually, he ended up making uniforms from scratch for Nazi soldiers to keep himself alive. And eventually, after he got out of that situation and emigrated to the United States, began working in a factory where they made clothing, and eventually after that bought the company and became the head tailor for that company, for his own company. And he has since then has made all kinds of suits for all kinds of high-powered people in the world, including rulers. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Know your craft. Know your work. Work hard at it, and it will be honored by God and by also even other men as well. So there's honor that comes from work as well. But work requires focus, okay? If we're going to be righteous in our work and do what God wants us to do and please the Lord, it does require focus. What do we mean by that? Well, Here's some advice that the author of Proverbs gives here, Solomon, as he shares about work. Says, prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourself in the field. Afterward, then build your house. There's a principle here that he's trying to get across that helps us to focus our attention and focus our work on what we should do first. The thing is, you do the field work first. So you get your crops and you get everything that you need to do out in the field. You till your land, you plant your crops, you harvest it and that sort of thing. You do that first before you do anything else. Why? Well, because that's what's going to sustain you. That's what's going to provide food for your family and for your animals and everything else that you need. After that is done, then go ahead and build your house. when you've got your farm set up and established, then you can start really building your house and working on it and making it nice. And here you get a good principle that you produce before you consume. You produce before you consume. And it's an important principle if you want to be successful and if you want to please the Lord, is that you do that production first. Then afterwards, you can begin to build your house and do some of the other nice things that you would like to have. So good principle for us to follow and recognize. Another one is Proverbs 27, 23 through 27. We had this read for us as Rand read it for us this morning. Know the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. I want to stop just for a second and comment on some of these things. In verse 23, it says, know the condition of your flocks. It is, in the Hebrew, it's very emphatic. It is, make sure that you know. Know for certain what's going on with your flocks, okay? The condition of your flocks. And it was important for somebody who was working out, had cattle and that sort of thing, that they would check their animals. They want to find out if they're sick. They're going to check their ears. They're going to check their fur, make sure they don't have any ticks, they don't have any other broken limbs or any other problems. Check their hooves, make sure their feet are working, are they're not hobbling or anything like that. You want to know the condition of your flocks. You want to make sure that your animals are well cared for, paying attention to those herds. And I think a good example of that is Isaac. You remember Isaac? He had the 12 sons of Israel. His name changed to Israel. Remember, he sent his sons out to care for his flock and get new pasture, and they all went out. And what did he do? He sent Joseph, the youngest, the favorite. That was a whole other problem. But he sent Joseph out, and Joseph was to go and find his brothers and find out how things were going with the flocks. Isaac knew the importance of monitoring and checking on his other sons. Maybe he didn't trust them all the way completely. Was it Jacob? I'm sorry, Jacob. Thank you, Karis. Jacob. So as he sends Joseph out, he's going to have them check on his brothers, and we all know what happened after that once Joseph found his brothers. But make sure that you know the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds. As it continues on, it says, the lambs will be for clothing, and the goats will bring the price of a field. And there will be goat's milk enough for your food, for the food of your household, and sustenance for your maidens. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that all they drank was goat milk. But they could use that goat milk to sell to other people, provide whatever it is that they might need for their family. So, but, okay, how many of you have goats and sheep at home? I didn't think so. Okay, so, you know, you might look at this and say, Pastor, for crying out loud, I don't have any goats, I don't have any sheep. What in the world does this mean to me, and how in the world does this apply to me? Well, what is your flock? Maybe your flock is your family. You have children at home or grandchildren that are part of your flock. Know well the condition of your family. Know well the condition of your grandkids and your children. Know what's going on in their lives and care for them. Watch over them. And, talk to them and find out what's happening and what's going on. Know your spouse and know your kids. They won't stay babies their whole lives, right? And that's what we see here in this passage. The grass disappears, the new growth is seen, the herbs in the mountains gather in. It's a picture of a progressing year. And as the year progresses, the needs of the flock change. They go from one pasture to another pasture, and sometimes you have to take them long distances to be able to find food for them as they travel around. And that creates all kinds of problems. But the point is, things change. Seasons change, and with the seasons, you have to know what the needs of your flock are so that you can care for them. Your kids aren't going to stay babies forever. You need to know what the seasons that they're going to be going through. know well what's happening in their lives so that you can be there and encourage them and help them. Maybe you have another business, some other business. Maybe you own your own business. Know your employees. Know your bank accounts. Because markets change and circumstances change. Customers change. Your customers' needs might change and different things like that. So you have to adapt and change to those changing seasons that go on and be ready for those things and know your business. And that's the way you can apply some of these verses, considering what's going on here as he talks about this. But not only that, but I want to, as we close today, I want to go to one other passage that really helps us understand the spiritual significance of this as well. Because the Lord is our shepherd, isn't he? Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, God, through Jesus Christ, knows you. You're one of his sheep. He knows you well, and he cares about you deeply. And he is going to be there for every season that you go through, spiritually speaking, as well. He knows about you, and he cares for you very deeply. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. He knows his sheep. He cares about us. How do we know that he does that? Well, first of all, he says, I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Jesus was, of course, talking about he was sent to the tribe of Israel. He was sent to the Jewish people. But he says, I have other sheep. What are these other sheep? You and me, Gentiles. Praise God that he had other sheep that he wanted to bring into the fold. And he did that on our behalf. He must bring them in. They will hear his voice. And we have heard the voice of Jesus Christ through the scriptures and said, yes, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to be part of your flock. And he continues on in verse 17. He says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life for the sheep, and that I might take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Jesus knows the condition of his people, of his flock. He cares for them deeply. And he shows as an example. He knew, by the way, your need for salvation as well. And what did he do? He provided for that need. He did all of the work for us. And that is the marvelous truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that Jesus did everything for us. He did what we could not do on our own. We couldn't pay for our own sins. We couldn't take care of ourselves. Just as animals can't handle their own, especially large flocks of animals can't handle living on their own. Sometimes sheep get so full of their wool, and their wool gets so matted down that they actually fall over and they will die because their coat is too thick, and if it gets wet, it gets so heavy that they can't work anymore. They can't even walk, and they will die. They need somebody to come along and shear them. They need somebody to come along and care for them. And that was what Jesus Christ has done for us. He paid the sin debt that we owed so that we could be free from eternal punishment. He did all the work. And because of him, we can have eternal life in him. We can have our sins forgiven. What a marvelous Lord he is. And thank the Lord for all of the work that Jesus has done. And I'm grateful, too, that, you know, he understood the value of that work. He could have thought to himself, you know, it's kind of a little bit below me to go down to earth and be among the human beings that I created, to become part of my own creation, to live among these people, especially that they've spurned my truth, they have turned away from me, they don't love me. But Jesus didn't do it that way, and he didn't think that way. He loved his people, and he did what needed to be done in order to save them. May the Lord be praised for what he has done on our behalf. So what should you do? Well, tend to your flock. Know well your flock. Know well your work and your job and your skills, and hone those skills and work hard, not for men, not for anybody else, but work hard for the Lord Jesus Christ because of everything that he has done on your behalf. The salvation that he has provided for you, he's worth it, isn't he? We're going to spend some time in praise and prayer today.